Hey everybody, I hope you are having a wonderful afternoon. I've got a beast of a webinar for you today, so I am probably going to hold questions until the very end. I think this will take every bit of an hour, but of course you can go back and watch this anytime after once this posts by tomorrow morning. What we're going to talk about today is what the market is doing, why we think it's a great time to buy in Texas, if perhaps not one of the best times. And we're going to talk about just kind of my predictions and housing outlook overall. So I've got a lot of content to cover. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of questions about some of the material I'm presenting. So if you want to just put them as I go, I'll hit them as I have time. We've got a great class schedule. I know I say that every time, but we really do. Next week, we're going to talk about why you should relocate to Texas. This is a little bit of a different take on what's happening here in Texas and why so many people are moving here, and really what is unique about our state from a owner occupancy standpoint of living here, working here, residing here. So we're going to take a look at that. And then on August 24th, we're going to talk about why we cash out while appreciation is still so high and what that looks like. I talk a lot about our 2 to 6 year hold model and the two different paths that you can take, the 1099, or I'm sorry, 1031 exchange model, or the cashing out model. And so we're going to take a look. I talk a lot about doing 1031 exchanges. We're going to look at cashing out and how that looks and why, when interest rates are a little bit higher, that can be a great alternative as well. As always, you can go to our website to see upcoming classes and also see previous events. And then, of course, you can go to our website under media to see all of the previous classes for about the last 2 to 3 years. And then, of course, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You can follow me there. You can look at what we're doing. On my personal Facebook, I chronicle a lot of the rehabs and renovations that we do for our own investment journey, as well as some of our other investment in real estate projects and real estate. And then, of course, we've got podcasts and other places where you can go listen to these classes. A lot of our clients prefer to listen on their way to work rather than perhaps sit here on a webinar. So, great alternative for that as well. Now, before I break into the bulk of what we're going to talk about today, as always, you guys know the spiel. Everything I'm going to talk to you about today, the opinions I'm going to express are based on my years of experience and market knowledge, having owned and operated the entities that I do in the real estate space. We are one tool in your toolbox. We will always do our best to guide you. And that not only means giving you our advice, but also referring you to and recommending people who can help guide you on your journey. All of that said, we don't have crystal balls. Certainly, we are out here following the model, investing and doing the things that we talk about. But your investment journey and what works right for you might be different than what works best for us. And so, of course, we're always here to answer questions, but do your own due diligence and just know there are no crystal balls in any form of investing. But we're going to talk today about why I feel real estate investing, especially right now in North Texas, is the strongest play. Now, before I get started, some of you are newer to us, so I'm just going to take a quick second, and I never do this, but I want to tell you why I'm qualified to talk about this because I think that's really important. There's a lot of noise right now in the news about all sorts of things, and a lot of people giving opinions, not so much on the North Texas market as they are on the overall nationwide market. And if you look up the credentials for a lot of them, they're not actually investors, which I find pretty interesting. And I've always been a big believer that those determining economic policy and thoughts really should have a greater understanding of economics, but that's a story for a different day. So I do just want to give you just a brief bit of background on myself and my husband, Michael. We're both born and raised in North Texas. We've never moved away, didn't go away for college. We've been here our entire lives, and we've been practicing investment real estate since early 2006. As most of you know, we own many companies, not only the real estate and property management company, but also investment acquisitions and sales, wholesaling, and a lot of other ventures that we work in real estate. Of course, both of us speak all over the United States, radio, TV, we travel, we teach. And one of our big pushes that we love is giving back with education and helping people take a model that can be hopefully utilized in other markets, not just North Texas. And I think really the key takeaway here I want you to know is I and Michael, we own 36 million in real estate. And I don't talk about this number a lot. I'm talking more about it now because I think it's really important that the people that you're watching are telling you what they are doing in the market. because again, when the market is doing what it's doing and there's so much investment opportunity, and we've been seeing this for the last few years, there's a lot of people out there talking about their model and what they want to do and making a lot of noise, but they're not actually doing it. And so I think it's really important that we are transparent as not only investors ourselves, but also as people who are giving you a model that you could potentially follow. So again, Michael and I own $36 million in real estate. We are closing anywhere from about $1 to $2 million a month. And so that's kind of where we are. I will also mention all but one property is in North Texas. So I think that speaks volumes. Let's talk about North Texas. So first thing I want to start with is the population actually grew faster than we expected. I've been talking a lot about this population growth. And for those of you that have been with me for a really long time, I used to have these webinars and talk about the insane number of people moving every day, 545 residents. Before that, I think it was 450. We're quite a bit higher than that. We gained 155,000 residents last year. We are the most populated metro in Texas and in the southern United States. 21 of our cities gained more than 10% of their population. Population has almost doubled since 1990. So not to age myself, but from the time when I was growing up to now, we are twice as big as we were. 3.5 million population increase in just the last 8 years. That's 1,000 new residents every day. Isn't that crazy? 23,000 residents or more added in the main center counties that we talk about. So when we talk about these outlying suburbs that we work in, we always want to be one step outside of the main center. So 23,000 residents in those main counties, Collin, Denton, Dallas, and Tarrant counties, they accounted for over 75% of the growth of the region. And if you look at the growth for Texas overall, the percentage that North Texas played is absolutely crazy. And as I've been talking a lot about now, we're talking about how it's not going to be too long before we're the third largest metro in the United States. How crazy is that, that we will be overtaking Chicago? They're saying sometime between 2030 and 2040. They don't know exactly when, because obviously if we keep increasing the speed at which all this relocation is happening, and if the economy stays a little bit unsteady in some other areas, that just pushes more people here. And we're going to talk a little bit about why that is in a little bit. So if you look at this chart here, it's the top 10 metro areas in the United States by numeric population growth. And you'll see that no one even touched us. In fact, if I were to show you the places that lost population, it'd probably be places where a lot of you guys live. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Of course, employment, affordability, the climate that Texas is, and how it really draws business here and jobs here. It all plays a role. But at the end of the day, COVID highlighted an already existing issue, and that is that we need to be in states as business operators that are business friendly. And so what that means is everything that the state does, whether it's financial incentives, whether it's financial policy or physical policy, they need to be for the benefit of business and for business to grow. And so I think at the end of the day, that has been the forefront of why we are doing as well as we are. There's a lot of other factors too, and I'm going to talk about a lot of those, but I want you front and center thinking it's Texas's laws and the way that we handle things that really has set the stage going back to the last recession and the last crash to now. I talk all the time about how when the rest of the country was just falling apart, we were building our roads and building our airport at one of the largest expansions in our airport's history. It's unique things that we do that really prepare us for future growth and allow us to grow in different ways. And that shows from our suburb growth patterns, where we're not growing from the main city out like all the other major metros, to just the different ways that we operate. And that's not just a North Texas thing. It's really a Texas thing, although North Texas has it down, I think, the best. So again, that's the top 10 metro areas. And by the numbers, of course, we saw the largest increase in population growth, more than 97,000 new residents from July 2020 to July 2021. And then I shared with you just in 2021, we saw over 150,000. So the big picture is our population is booming. The new data shows that four of the top 10 metro areas for population growth were all in Texas. So you'll see that number one, number three, number four, and number eight. So that's pretty staggering. That tells you really where the trend is right now. Now, this population growth really is what's defining what's happening here. And it really has continued through COVID, and COVID just exacerbated and increased what we were already seeing. And so if you look here, you'll see that they're thinking that we're going to hit over 11 million by 2045. And I think that if things continue the way that they are, you probably will see that number sooner. Now, the one thing I really want you to see is the recession trend here. Unlike almost all other large metro areas, I want you to look at our growth trend through every recession. We have continued to grow. And so this is a very unique thing. And again, this goes back to how we respond to the recession and our lingering affordability and the drive of employers being here. So I put a little quote here, and I think this is really important. To understand the magnitude of change ahead, we examined the 2045 forecast. It anticipates we'll add 3.5 million people on top of the 7.7 at the time this was done. We're now almost 8.1 million base. The growth translates into more than 1.5 million new households. We will need 184,000 acres of single family homes, townhomes, condos, and apartments for these new residents. That's close to 300 square miles. I want you to think about that for a minute. This was from June of 21, and this was really when we started talking about this housing shortage. And I'm going to show you where the numbers were before COVID and where we are now, because it's already staggering, right? And it's only getting worse. And right as we were starting to make progress, builders stopped building, or at least cut back what they're building. And so we're in a really unprecedented time here in North Texas, and it's really unlike what we're seeing in other areas. And so for me, even me looking at analyzing it and others here in my market, we don't really know where we're going. We know we're going up, and we know it's going up fast. We don't know where that's going to end. You know, is it possible that 1,000 residents a day could get to 1,500 or 2,000? If you had asked me when we were getting 500 people a day, if I thought it could double again, I would have laughed, but here we are. And it's really amazing times that we are in. And the fact that this is happening in the fourth largest metro in the United States with an average housing price still below half a million. And wait till you see what percentage of our houses are sub a million. It's really, there's just so many things happening that are so fascinating in our market. And it's hard to get lost in the noise of the national market, but you have to look at metro areas by themselves when you're investing. And so that's what I do most of my day. I look at numbers, not just for my market, but all the competing markets and other markets where I've invested or where I have clients, friends, family that are invested. And there is no other market that looks quite like North Texas right now. It's really quite incredible. Houston's getting close. San Antonio's growing, but they just can't touch North Texas. So if we look at the resident population growth, I want you just to look at this chart. It's incredible. And again, you'll see that we continue this upward trend. Even in the worst of times, we really have just done nothing but attract people to move here. And these aren't people moving here without jobs. These are people moving here for employment. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. So this just kind of lays out for you what we're going to need through 2045, assuming that that growth rate continues. And then they have some stagnation in there too. And of course, the rate trend got faster than what they were anticipating back in June of 21. So really, probably this number is a lot higher now. But this gives you an idea of what we're talking about we have to be able to fill in the next 22, 23 years. It's really crazy to think about. Because we're sitting right now at 170,000 home shortage, and now we have to add another, say, million just in single family. How is that going to happen? I certainly don't know how that's going to happen. We're building less homes, and the aggregate age of our homes today is so much less than existing inventory. If you look at the age of the average home, and you look at how many homes we need, I don't see a path right now that we can catch up. If interest rates were still low and we were able to go, you know, pick these lots and develop them into neighborhoods and builders were building affordable houses, and that's what we've been doing the last 2 years, then maybe we'd be having a different conversation. But the builders that have been building expensive homes because why not? And so if you can buy a lot a little closer in or just build a little bigger, fancier house when you're filling your entire need with $500,000 plus houses, what happens to everybody else? So what it's led to is sales prices have jumped. It's been unbelievable. Most of our areas, look at this, 30% last year. And I want you to look at the date of this article. This isn't an article that was written 6 months ago. This was written 2.5 weeks ago. Of course, we saw the fastest rising home prices in Texas. Our average sales price in our largest, most desirable county, still only 575,000, and we are the fourth largest metro in the United States. think about what that price would be in your most desirable county in LA or Chicago or New York. It all goes back to supply and demand, right? So 59,000 homes were started in 2021. I already told you 155,000 people moved here, and that's on top of the shortage we already had. So where are we going to put these people? We're building lots of luxury apartments that are more expensive than the houses we rent out in the city. They're making a killing, but people aren't looking for apartments right now. People don't come to Texas with our pets, our guns, and our backyards to go live in an apartment. Nationwide, this is a problem that doesn't just happen here, but it's so exacerbated here because of what's happening. We have a 1.35 million home shortage since 2020. I mean, these numbers are incredible. Look at the active listing count. If you look at where we were in 2017 and you look at where we are now, we're at almost half of where we were in 2017 for the inventory. And yet we've almost doubled in the last 8 to 9 years. How do you keep up? Supply and demand is what's driving everything happening right now. And the takeaway here is, I don't have the answers of how we fix it. All I know is it's a problem, but it's a good problem if you're a real estate investor. If you're an entry-level home buyer, if you are one of the Texas or North Texas residents that isn't getting one of these new high-paying jobs, you're struggling right now. And we went into all of this craziness with 50% and 40% of our people being renters. Well, now we have forced a huge chunk of people to become renters because suddenly now it's cheaper to rent than it is to buy. But then in comparison to that, we've got all of these properties coming online that are apartments, and those people are trying to move into houses and the new people are going into apartments. And so we have half the inventory that we did 5 years ago, but we have, I don't know, 30% more people, 40% more people. It's not sustainable. And right as we start to make an arc of inventory going up, who's going to sell when they're locked at a 2.75? People just aren't going to move. This isn't like the last issue where people had no equity and they had no stake in their homes and they were in adjusting high interest rates. That's not the world we're in. Our citizens are locked into low interest rates, and 50% of our homes went to institutional investors. It's not a fixable problem today. And why are prices going to keep climbing? We're so far below levels of inventory. This is not just happening in North Texas, guys. This is happening everywhere. Again, this is from end of May numbers. This is from July. Look at the home gains on a nationwide basis. We just simply haven't been building enough homes. And that's not just since the pandemic. This is going back more than 20 or 40 years. So this is the housing report that just came out. This is DFW. So this is looking at all of DFW as a whole. I want you just to take a second and look at this. So this is what you're hearing on the news. Listings are way up. Yeah. Active listings are up 48.7%. We actually have a couple houses on the market. Imagine that. However, we're still way down. Way down. And in addition, the listings that are on the market, people are asking stupid money. Everyone was getting 40, 50, 60,000 over asking on entry mid-level homes. And everyone is pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope. And a lot of what's coming up is crap too. It's lipstick on a pig. These aren't homes that are worth what's being asked. Yet still our days on market is 19. But what's the bigger takeaway here? The days on market is 3 days less than it was last year. We have less than 2 months of inventory across North Texas. A balanced market is 6 months, 1.8 months. And again, I want to remind you, this is end of June numbers. This isn't 6 months ago. This is now. But the bigger piece, I want you to look at price distribution at the upper right. I want you to look at what percentage of our homes are over $750,000. Less than 14%. And the fourth largest metro in the United States. Now that's incredible. I also want you to look at what percentage of homes are less than 200,000, 4%. Less than 300,000, less than 20%. This is why we operate in the market subset that we do. The lack of inventory in affordable entry housing is astonishing. Yeah, the jobs coming here are higher paid. I'm gonna show you that in a minute. So those people, they can afford where we are. But what about everyone who's from here? What about your service industry workers? What about the people who are from these small towns we work in who aren't getting these tech jobs that are not qualified because the tech jobs are coming here and people are moving here to fill them? It's a very interesting conundrum we're in right now. Now, I decided to go ahead and put Sherman Denison up here for two reasons. One, y'all know I love this area and it's a huge chunk of my portfolio. But number two, I'm going to show you some available houses here in a little bit to show you where the numbers are today. So I want you to really understand the market subset we're looking at. So the median price in Sherman Denison, which is fastest growing MSA, incredible job growth. Median price is $310,000 still today. It's up 24.7%. So we're making some gains. However, still less than 19% of homes sub 200,000. Days on market 27, only a day more than quarter two of 2021. So we're still less than a month on market and months of inventory in an outlying area is still 2.5 months, less than half of a balanced market. And we're not even talking a buyer's market. We're just talking a balanced market. Look how few houses are over 750,000, less than 5%. And yet, where are your tech jobs going that are paying all this money? Sherman Denison, this area is going to be the new chip manufacturer of the United States, one of the largest in the world. And I'm going to show you some of what's going on up there. And we have less than 5% of our homes as true expensive luxury homes for our market. Pretty crazy. So let's talk about the Texas economy and North Texas specifically. So DFW is home to more than 70,000 businesses and more than 10,000 corporate headquarters. 45 Fortune 1000 companies, over 2,500 companies with more than 100 employees headquartered here, 23 Fortune 500s, I think we just hit 24. Unemployment's 3.3%, no state or corporate income tax. Our enterprise fund was $650 million that now has resulted in $35 billion in capital investment, four times what it was just a few years ago, one of the many ways we get these employers here. 1 million jobs since 2010, 121,000 in the last 12 months. It's just crazy. Our job market is insane. I want you to look at our job recovery. Remember, the point of this is, why is now the time to invest? Why is North Texas where you should invest? It all goes down to jobs, right? Because if we don't have people to pay their rent, then having rental properties doesn't make sense. We've led the metro in job recovery with COVID. But I want you to look at our competitors. Look at your right side of that over there, Chicago, LA, New York, top three. How are they doing? It's a completely different world. How is it that we are the fourth largest metro in the United States and we perform completely unlike any other? Why are we doing what we are doing? It's really, when you break down the information and you look at what's happening, it's fascinating to me. I hope it's fascinating to you because it's unprecedented. More than half of Dallas companies plan to add new positions in the next 6 months. They just did this. They researched and interviewed all of these business owners here. Half of the companies. November 2021 alone added almost 43,000 jobs, almost half the number of people who moved here. Normal used to be like 8,000 to 10,000 a month. So it's pretty crazy. Texas now has more jobs than it did before the pandemic hit. And we caught up quite a bit ago. And we ended 2021 with 13 million non-agricultural jobs, almost 90,000 more jobs than in February 2020 before the onset of the pandemic. So you can't explain this away by saying this is rebound jobs. No, no, we are so far above that. But the biggest piece is because we have all these jobs, it's making more and more people want to move here. So it's not just that the employers are coming here and bringing their people. Other people are moving here coming for the jobs. And our openings remain high. I talk all the time about we have more jobs than we have people to fill them. Well, here's your numbers, guys. Look at this. This is how many non-farm, so we're not talking agricultural here, how many job openings we have. Look at where we were in 2013, 2014. Look at 2016, 2018, 2020. Look at now. 932,000 openings in February in Texas, the most since they've ever started tracking. Two-thirds of businesses surveyed said they're trying to hire workers. 30% said the situation has gotten worse in 2022, not better. Now, what does all this mean? Why is this important? North Texas is diverse. Most markets are not. Most metros, they have a couple employers or sectors. I could name a lot of cities that are car dependent, for example, others that are oil dependent. But a lot of people inaccurately think that we are an oil market. We're not. We're not an oil-based economy. And although we are extremely diverse, we have certain sectors that are absolutely pulling us forward. You know, the technology sector and what's happening right now in Grayson County is historical. But we still have seen these gains: transportation, warehousing, utilities, tech services, administrative support, waste management. I mean, think about it. Somebody's got to haul all the trash from all these people. Employment services, helping people locate jobs, managing employment, wholesale trade, even specialty contractors. And if I showed you the contractor shortage right now for specialty trades, for real estate business development and construction, it's crazy. I mean, I could throw charts up here all day, guys, but at the end of the day, they're all painting the same picture, right? So let's talk about Grayson County. I've mentioned what's happening with the chip manufacturing up there. So this was the largest private sector development project ever done in Texas history. Look at that. For statistic size, to kind of give you an idea, just the main plant, 2 football fields. It's crazy. $30 billion invested in a small county. The mayor said, quote, marks the next era of semiconductor production in Sherman, promising to create decades of economic opportunity, improve the quality of life for the region. But they didn't just sign the TI deal. They just got Globotech too. 1,500 new jobs, half as many as TI, and a $5 billion investment. So Texas, again, and the brilliant business mind it is, $15 million cash grant from the Enterprise Fund, $34 million in local tax incentives, first manufacturing plant of its kind in America in the last 20 years. This is what we talk about when we talk about American ingenuity and bringing these jobs to our country. This is huge, guys. These are the chips. This is the technology. What's happening in Grayson County, it's what makes your Apple's phones work, Face ID technology, the microchips that are going in things, the shortages that we've been having. This is where the money is coming to fix all these problems that have caused a lot of this inflation. It's really interesting when you think about cause and effect and how this fix for this issue, it's happening here in Texas. I mean, all you have to do is look at what's happening around Austin and North Texas, even in Houston. It's this tech manufacturing that is coming in to this region. And then what happens is all the companies that work with them relocate, the companies that create the products that they use to create what they're doing, they come here because just operationally, it's cheaper for them to be here. But they're not going to want to pay to go in the main county. Texas Instruments was brilliant. They realized it's a 35-minute drive from their other campus. So why not just move everybody up there? Why not start moving their operations up north? It made perfect sense. Cheaper land, cheaper operating. People can live like they're making a lot more money because the cost of living is low. But let's talk about cost of living, because this is, I think, what's going to surprise you maybe more than anything else I've said. Dallas is still more affordable than most other large cities. Rents are up 17% from a year ago. Great for all of you who own here. I know that we've made a killing in rent increases. Most areas had a year-over-year increase of 15 to 25%. That said, people can afford it. Almost 50% of the people coming here have an income of $150,000 or more in the jobs they have here. Only 17% earn less than $75,000. Now, if you live in New York, that may not sound like a lot of money. Guys, North Texas, that's a lot of money. Post-COVID income has had the strongest recovery, way stronger than the national average. And the trend, Moody's is reporting, it's going to keep happening because of the rent-to-income ratio still being so affordable. 22.5% in Dallas, 18.9% in Fort Worth, and those are some of your most expensive areas. Fourth largest metro in the United States, and rents are still affordable. Homes are still affordable. How is that possible? Landmass. Landmass is the answer. If this were a quiz, anyone who was thinking that, you would have won. Because at the end of the day, we don't have the geographic layout of these other cities. We grow suburb outward. We have this massive transit system. Second largest number of highway miles per capita in the United States here in North Texas. You can live and work anywhere in the metro because you can get around. these jobs, most of them aren't coming to the city. Almost 100% of the Fortune 500s who relocated here all went to the suburbs. You can see the big manufacturers, the big companies, Liberty Mutual, Toyota, State Farm, they all went to the suburbs because they can. So look at the rent trend. Now, this is really fascinating because you can look at how many days it took to close, and you'll see that inventory is still just over 3 weeks. And the close price, look at the average price because of how bad the housing shortage has gotten. It's crazy. Now, are there a couple expensive properties probably driving this up a little bit? Yeah. Yeah, we've seen more and more of these luxury homes go on the market for rent because people, maybe they're going traveling for a year and they don't want to sell their home, so they put it on the market just to come back to it. But I can't tell you how many rentals we're doing that are expensive. We did one last month that was like almost $4,000 for just a house. I mean, we're not talking a mansion here. So it's really pretty staggering. And this is numbers through July 2022. So again, this is the most up-to-date statistics. So all of this said, what is my investment philosophy? Number one, real estate is the safest investment opportunity. I have believed that since I was 18 years old and started in this business. There is a reason that I don't do other options. Real estate always has value. It can fluctuate. Of course, it fluctuates typically a lot slower than other investment vehicles, but it always has value. Your home can burn to the ground and you can insure against that loss. Our model, utilizing 1031 exchanges and cash out refinances, allows you to use the same amount of money to continue to propel forward in an appreciating market. And I've already shown you that we are in an appreciating market, 30% year over year through June. Avoid the inner cities, that's huge. Don't go into the main city here. That model may not work for other metros, but it certainly is the model for here. Invest in areas with specific criteria. Business-friendly climate, that's important. Highway expansion. Infrastructure growth needed. If you go in the main city, they have enough grocery stores, they have enough bus lines, they have enough clothing stores. You go up into these suburbs, they're just now building their first bowling alleys and movie theaters. Still have only a few restaurants, the waits might get to 2 hours. If you buy in an area where the growth has to continue just to support what's happening there, that's huge. That makes a huge difference. Now, let's talk about some other things that are really important. That would be my 2-year-old's tablet, guys. All right. Landlord-friendly laws. This is a big one. And that's important because we want to make sure we're in an area where the model works. If you're in a state that's not going to support you being a landlord, you're not going to be able to make money. It just won't happen. You can look at any projected return you're going to have, but if you can't hold tenants accountable, how are you going to hold them accountable? No state income tax, that's huge. And stick to sub $250,000 properties for single families. When it gets up to that value point, that's how you know it's time to sell. Now, my market outlook. You probably already know what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Now may be one of the best times to buy. Rates are going to come down, guys. What they're doing, they're going to slow the growth of the economy overall on a nationwide level, and then they'll have to bring them down. We already saw last week rates went down pretty significantly, so we're seeing that up and down trend already starting. The housing shortage is only getting worse. You can always buy now and refinance when rates drop. You're going to refinance anyway because if appreciation continues, you need to capitalize that equity to keep buying. That's how you get those massive cash on cash returns in the triple digits. Right as builders were starting to make progress, all these things happened. Build line reductions, this is huge. Banks said, no, we don't want you building that much at once, cut it back. Interest rate hikes, they can't afford to go as far with their build lines. Labor and supply shortages, it's a huge issue. Unaffordability of lots, lack of laborers. They're building less homes now than before the Great Recession, despite the number of people moving to the areas already struggling with shortages. Think about that. We're building less homes today than we were 20 years ago. It's an incredible opportunity for cash flow. And as the rent trend continues as it has been, if we continue seeing those upswing numbers, you will be hard pressed to find any other investment opportunity that can make you the type of money, unless you're risking on stocks, which, again, that's a story for another day. But again, stocks can have no value. Be specific about where and what you buy. Make sure you know who you're buying with. That's a big one. So I'm going to go ahead and go to questions. And then at the end, I will start talking about some inventory. Just reading through these. Okay, so this is a specific question about Bonham and what I think of Bonham. So to kind of give you geographic location, Bonham is to the right of Sherman and Denison. So it's just a little bit, maybe 20 minutes further east. And it has done incredible. I have seen values in Bonham go up about 70%, apples to apples, 60 to 70% in the last 12 months. I personally have bought, I want to say, three in Bonham in the last 2 months. So I'm a big believer in Bonham. Bonham is piggybacking on not only Dallas growth, but also Sherman Denison growth. And they also have their own employment there, obviously, too. But they're 20 minutes drivable into Sherman Denison. So it's really easy for them to piggyback on all those employers, just like everywhere else is. Let's see. Okay, this is a good question. Not all properties sell at list price. We have off-market opportunities that we present. We have on-market opportunities. We have wholesale opportunities. Anytime that we think there's some price movement that's possible, we're going to tell you that. Now, that's not to say that you can't offer price movement on other products. It's not real common in our market. It really depends on the property. But there are some where we feel like we can come in under asking and negotiate. And so you'll see that on some of what we are doing. Let's see. Okay, talking about financing. So let's, for my assumptions today, this is what I've run in my performance, just so you kind of know, 25% down, 5.25, 30-year AM. I currently am doing non-conventional lending. First off, I'm way beyond what conventional could ever do since you get 10 doors. But it's for me, it's about having it in an LLC name and having it with direct banks that will allow you to propel forward. So we have a lot of direct banks that we work with, really unique financing opportunities. And so the returns change based on what financing you use. And so depending on your situation and where you are in your investment journey, we can guide you to where we recommend. I personally refinance almost everything I buy pretty quickly. A, because I feel like values go up and so it makes sense to, and to put it into a long-term product. But then addition, a lot of people are going into interest only right now to skyrocket returns, going into DCSR financing, which is debt coverage service ratio, which basically says that they don't really look at you so much as they look at the property. And if the property covers the debt plus a little bit, then it qualifies for this type of financing. And you can get really great terms, 30-year AM on LLCs. You can get interest only. I've got I think it's like 33 houses refinancing that closes later next week. And my payment is unchanged, but I'm pulling out over $1 million on just that small portfolio, all properties I've bought in the last 24 months. So DCSR has a lot of power. And so it's a misconception to think that whatever loan you go into day one, you're going to sit in, because that's probably not going to happen. Certainly not if we're seeing growth trends like we've been seeing. So unless the market stagnates, which again, I've just told you all the reasons why we don't believe that can happen. Every penny that you get an equity, whether it's appreciation, whether it's principal pay down on your mortgage, that's more money you have in the deal. So if you're rerunning your numbers, your cash on cash return is constantly dropping. So it's really important that you're reevaluating your property every single year. And so when it comes up for renewal, we're going to reach out to you, tell you what the market's doing. And of course, I'm in front of you guys with this education all the time, keeping you up to date on that. You can always reach out to us and we can help guide you through that or connect you again with lenders who can assess that. But the goal is this: if you have X amount of money to work with, once you've spent X amount of money, unless you're pocketing enough to keep going, you have to tap into that money that you've got in properties to continue to grow your portfolio. You're not going to retire on two or three houses. You're going to have great supplemental income, but you have to take that two to three and turn it into 20 or 30. And so, like what I do, that's the model. And so that's why it's really important that you have a property you buy on the cash flow, but then you also buy in an area that's appreciating. Because, for example, properties went up 30% last year. If you had bought a property last year and it went up 30%, you now have enough money to cash out and go buy another house. One could have turned into 2.5. Or you could sell that property and go buy maybe three. So it all depends on what you're doing and property by property, what makes the most sense. And that's what we're here to help guide you on those things. It is pretty commonplace right now in conventional lending. So that's Fannie Mae, right? That's your 10-door type lending to buy down that rate. Now, it's a day-by-day thing. We saw last week our conventional lender had rates just over 5%. And it's up and down day by day. So a lot of people are floating rates right now. And of course, we can refer you to the people we recommend. But at the end of the day, there's days where it's up and there's days where it's down. It really isn't going up beyond where it's been. I think the rate increases are pretty much done. I don't think they can do any more. And so you have to remember that when the Fed raises the rate, that doesn't actually increase mortgage rates. In reality, what it does is it's bringing it down, but there's still some volatility in investors' minds that are backing these notes and buying these notes and packages. And so we're still seeing a little bit of the, it goes down and then it rebounds a little bit and then it goes down and it rebounds a little. But overall, the trend is going to be starting to come down. And again, I want to reiterate, I say this not as much as I probably should, but this is all because of the election, guys. I do predictions every January. I told you all this was going to happen. They always make things more volatile as we approach the election. Once we get through the election, investors are going to feel a lot better. Things are going to stabilize. You have to remember, when there's campaigning, everyone's out there talking about everything that's terrible about this country. That's just the way that election cycles work. We can't get up there and say what's going great. We get up there and say what we need to fix. And so I think that we're going to see a lot of stabilization as we get into the mid to late November, and then we'll really start to see that trend back downward. All the signs are indicating that inflation is starting to stagnate, and they've induced that, obviously. And although there are things that they're not going to be able to fix, like supply chain issues and, building shortages and those types of things, the basic consumer goods, they've been able to fix a lot of that. And so by slowing down the markets, it's fixed a lot of what they were concerned about. Now, I can't speak to how I would do it or what the right path is or whether what they did was the right thing, because it's outside my wheelhouse, guys. All I know is what they did, what the effect is. And this is all because we've been printing money like it's candy. And so we have to find a way to rein it back in. But at the end of the day, we all still have money to invest. We all still need passive income. So where's that path? For me, nothing's changed. If anything, it's just made things better, because the more unaffordable everywhere else gets, the more people are going to come to North Texas. So all of that said, rates are fluctuating day by day. We're seeing periods where it's down during the week, and so you'll just lock during one of those periods. Same thing I'm doing. All right, let's see. I love Greenville. I'm actually going to show a couple properties in Greenville here in a minute. I personally own a lot of property in Greenville and actively buying in Greenville. A lot of government defense contracting business there. L3 Technology is huge, of course. But again, you're 20, 25 minutes into McKinney and Collin County, so it's really close to get to employers. Or you can go down 30 and get into the city of Dallas really quickly. So it's all so interconnected now. I used to say these far out suburbs, well, they're not far anymore. If in reality, we're going beyond them now. And so all of these areas are fantastic. We're not going to send out areas that we don't believe follow that model, that core model. And we're not going to send out areas where I'm not buying too. Let's see. Denison, prices in Denison. Whether we pay asking or whether we pay under depends on the property. A lot of our off market, we've already negotiated this builder down as far as we can. And so, we'll submit any offer you want. We are your agent, and our goal is to get you the best price. But at the end of the day, we get what we get because we're easy and because we know where the numbers work, and we tell the builder, no, we're not going to pay X. We can make the numbers work at Y. And so then they eventually, hopefully, agree to let us present it to you at Y or right above Y. And so it's all about negotiation. So sometimes that's happened on the front end before we ever blast them out. But yeah, we are absolutely sending out properties where we do recommend coming in under asking because we think there's room. You have to remember, we can look up what people owe, what their original mortgage was for. We sometimes know what their situation may be. Maybe the agent says it's a motivated seller, or that they're relocating, or maybe they already have a place, or if it's vacant, they've already moved out. Or sometimes it's investors that got over their head and way overspent because of the supply chain issues and the cost being too high for renovations. And so there's a lot of factors that go into play, but you can always ask us and we'll always tell you what our recommendation is. Do I think things like PGA headquarters development and Frisco Prosper will have any impact on value of properties in the suburbs? Absolutely. That type of development and what's happening in the heart of Collin County is what's drove all this and driven all this. But properties up there, they're expensive, right? To get into Frisco, most of what's being built up there now is a million plus. And so the really nice homes in Frisco now were like 3-4 million. And so it's a completely changed market. There's no affordable housing up there and they don't rent return, but everywhere that touches it piggybacks on it and grows. And so that's exactly what we're doing. The areas that we work in and we sell, they have their own employment, massive employment, like Sherman Denison, Tyson Foods, Texas Instruments, the Mexican food. I mean, there's just so much up there. Finisar, Face ID technology, it's everywhere, but it's also drivable in. You know, people who are relocating from these other major cities, they're used to an hour to 2 hour commute. So if we tell them you can have a 40 minute commute, get a lot more bang for your buck and go up here, they're going to be more than happy to do that. Especially when you compare the size of lots and other things that they get and the quality of home that they're getting. No, we do not do seller financing. And Denton, what are my thoughts on Denton? Denton was a great investment about 30 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago. There are some packages or products that make sense in Denton, but it's very expensive. It's a lot of student housing. And with student housing, you tend to have more turnover and more make ready expense. And so we really don't do any model that piggybacks on student housing. That's not to say we don't sometimes get students. And, you know, Sherman has a great college. And so sometimes we get staff for the school. But Denton is, it doesn't fit the model, right? It's already developed. It's already on a highway that's finished developing. We're now an hour north of Denton selling. So it's a nice area to go visit. It's got good restaurants and it's centrally located. It's got great colleges, but I personally don't own anything in Denton. So hopefully that kind of answers your question. I also will say we're pretty specific on crime and other things that we look at in the areas that we work in. And I personally feel like Denton's crime rate's a little bit higher than I like just because it's such a big city. Denton's not, yes, it's a suburb, but it's a mega city. It's massive. And so a lot of the benefits of these small suburbs and their heightened growth are not what you're going to see in Denton. Let's see. Will people still drive as much as gas prices go up, or perhaps these markets are more attractive with electric self-driving cars? I can tell you, I don't know of a single tenant that's moved into one of our properties that has asked about an EV charger. How funny is that? I personally drive an electric vehicle. I love my Tesla and I love it for city driving, but I don't see a lot of that in tenants. What I will say is I haven't heard anyone complaining about gas. I think gas is back down. We're not as high as a lot of areas, and I think it's going to keep dropping. Again, I think election-centric, when that ends, things will calm back down on that front as well. But no, we really haven't heard that because, again, where they're used to commuting and the price difference in home, you know, when a cheap three-bedroom home in Plano is $2,400 and we're doing three-bedroom homes starting at $1,300 or $1,400, they're certainly not going to spend in gas what they're saving in rent. Plus, these are new homes, whereas if they go into the main city, it's often a lot more expensive. And a lot of those properties are not rentals anymore. You have to remember, guys, is these property values skyrocketed. A lot of the people who had rentals sold to homeowners. So the inventory is just too short. People can't really be that picky right now, especially in the main city. At Sulphur Springs, I don't go that far. Not an area I recommend. Sherman is about an hour from Greenville. Does Greenville residents commute to Sherman for AI job growth? No, those are opposite directions. So one's north, one's east. They both would commute into Collin County or into Dallas, but they would not, I don't think, commute to each other. They're completely opposite markets. And how would I compare returns on single families versus small multifamily? My preference is 1-4 family all day long. I own small multifamily. I own some commercial. I 100% believe in small single family, 1-4 family. So that's just where I see the best returns, the easiest access, the most diversification. That is what we believe in. We do bring multifamily opportunities. We have a lot of clients who only want multifamily, especially those that have been in the game a while and have a lot of capital. But if you want best bang for your buck, I will answer single family every time. Single family, duplex, anything up to 4 units. All right, I think that's all the questions. So I'm gonna start with talking about some of the properties available. And if you guys have more, I'll keep an eye out and come back to that. All right, so let's talk about new construction in Denison. This is a $225,000 property, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1198 square feet. For those of you who haven't seen our available properties before, everything we do is pretty investor friendly and tenant friendly. Our goal is that the longevity of the systems and the items in the home will last until your sale period, because most of our customers do sell every 2 to 3 years. Certainly in an appreciating market, that's something that we see pretty frequently. So you'll see here that in the beginning, this property is on a piece of land. If that property was assessed January 1st and it was only land, which means that your first year, your property taxes are typically a whole lot of savings. It's thousands your first year of extra income if your property was not built in January. So you'll see in the beginning, the return is super high. And then on the back end, the return levels at around 4.5%. Now, one thing we don't talk about a lot, and we're going to be kind of talking a little bit more about, is what happens at year one or year two if the property appreciates, because of course we're just talking about cash flow here. So with principal pay down, your total return's almost 9%. That's before your appreciation, and that's before all of your tax benefits like depreciation and everything else that you get. If you cost segregate, it can go even more. But these properties, if the appreciation continues on what it is, you likely will be refinancing year two, possibly year three. And so it's very hard to say what type of loan you're going to be in at that point. So on our performance, we keep it consistent. But just know that if we appreciate as we expect we will and continue to do, it will not make sense for you to sit in that property, because your cash on cash return will actually change because you'll have more cash in the deal. So it will make more sense for you to go refinance it or 1031 exchange once we hit that threshold. And that's, again, if you have questions on that, we can discuss that separately and we can talk more about that. And I've taught a lot of classes on how that works. So you can also email us and we'll send you over the link to one of those. So super cute house, nice open floor plan, big kitchen island. You'll see master has its own private bath, walk-in closet, 2 spare bedrooms. Nice shaker cabinets, beautiful home. This is another new construction. This one is completed. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1-car garage. It's hard to find 1340 square feet with a 1-car garage for only 230. This one's probably going to go quick. This is an off-market exclusive. This property is really a great performer, and I love the look. I think these houses that they're doing up here are so cute, and I love how they don't all look the same. You know, you go by in a neighborhood of identical homes, it really doesn't give it any character. People don't feel a connection to it when they view it. And more importantly, it's really easy for the tax assessor to figure out what to tax it at. The benefit of these infill homes that we do is that's all much more complicated for the tax assessor. So it tends to keep the property taxes a lot lower. I certainly see that on my portfolio, but also people have an emotional connection. They see the house, there's nothing else like it. They fall in love, they want to rent it. Beautiful homes, again, vinyl floors, tile backsplashes, solid surface countertops, beautiful designer homes. It really, you know, it's so much easier to attract a Class A tenant when you have a Class A property, and these homes are just stunning. New construction in Greenville. Now, Greenville is skyrocketed, so I'm floored that we have one like this at this price. So this one will probably go in the next day or so. It's just hard to find 2-car garages sub 250 or 270 now, even in these suburbs. So this is a 322 1203 square feet, 2249. This one, again, you'll see it looks great on the front end and it looks great on the back end. You kind of see that floor plan there, nice big breakfast bar in the kitchen, huge master. I love that layout. 2-car attached garage, really cute little covered porch, quintessential Texas. This is another new construction in Greenville. This one's just a few square feet larger. Cute layout. Again, you'll see it's just reversed. This is a new construction duplex in Denison. I love the size of these. It's so hard to find anything this big. 3-bed, 2.5-bath, almost 1,600 square feet per side. Love this one. These are pictures of a similar finish out by the same builder. Nice vaulted ceilings, which is hard to get in a 2-story. Now this is an interesting, this is a pre-owned 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom. A lot of my portfolio, I mix and match between the bigger 3 bedrooms and the smaller 2 bedrooms. I love my 2 bedrooms. This one's only $155,000. It's an updated 1940s home. And the return on this one is phenomenal. Now, here's what I'll tell you. When you look at these older homes, they've updated them. It doesn't mean they're perfect. It doesn't mean things aren't going to come up on inspection. I definitely recommend a home warranty, which we recommend that on all our properties anyway. possible, whatever you find on inspection, we can get the seller to take care of a lot of it. But you do need to know it is a 1940s home. And so there are nuances with that. It's not going to be 100% brand new everything. But a huge chunk of my portfolio is houses just like this. And this one is super cute and the price is great. So love the returns on this one. Really, really cute inside. You'll see it has central air. So it's got the upgrades that we look for. Shaker cabinets, solid surface countertops, all the same things we talk about. I think this one is actually one of our builders actually did this renovation as well. This is a 2006 build in Greenville, so relatively recent home, 184,997, 3-bed, 2-bath, almost 1,250 square feet. Another one with fantastic returns. Really cute house. I have a bunch of houses right here, all same age. I actually just sold one of mine for quite a bit more money than this that was smaller and not as nicely updated as this one. So I think there's some equity gain potentially here too. Now, these are the big packages. And so this obviously isn't a fit for everybody, but we do have a few of these available. These are packages of duplexes, brand new construction in Denison. Fantastic opportunity for someone who has a 1031 or is sitting on capital. So something like this, say you spend $3 million, you're likely going to put 20% down on a package like this. So $600,000 or so plus closing costs. So if that's something that's a fit, then this is a great opportunity to get a lot of bang for your buck. And I think there's also a possibility to buy them in a package and then sell them off individually for more money. And so the long-term play here might be to sell them off individually. Certainly, if this were my acquisition, that's what I would look at. Make sure they're individually parceled on my package and then be able to sell them off individually as part of the loan product that I do. So two single-story duplexes, 1,368 square feet each. 3 2-story duplexes, 1,452 square feet each. And then 2 2-story duplexes, 1,246 square feet. So these are big duplex units. Numbers look really good. Again, remember, we build our duplexes like single families, so tenants pay all their own utilities, their own pest control, their own lawn care. So there's no more maintenance expense than what you would have on a single family. And of course, we'll get builder warranty and all those things I talk about. Now here's a little bit cheaper package. So this is a good opportunity. 5 full duplexes. So 1 single story, 1,368 square feet each. And then 2 2-story that are 3 3s, 1,452 square feet each. Those are 3 bathrooms, guys. And then 2 more that are 3 3s each, 1,246 square foot on each side. So again, looking at the numbers, numbers look great. And then here's another one. This is 10 full duplexes, 4.25. So 3 single story of the 1,368 square foot floor plan, 4 2-stories of the 1,452 square foot floor plan, and then 3 2-stories of the 1,246 square foot floor plan. Again, numbers look great. Beautiful finish out inside these. You'll notice each one has its own little unique identity, which is great. That's exactly what we look for. All right, so that is what I have for you today. Let's go back to the question. Okay, question 1, you are presenting performers with 25% down, not 20% down. On conventional, we recommend 25% down because the rate is so much better. If you go into portfolio LLC financing, we're all pretty much doing 20% down. So it just depends on the type of financing that you're doing. But conventional, there didn't used to be a huge rate difference between 20 and 25% down. There is now. So that's why we recommend 25% down. You could go 20% though. Got a couple people asking about strategy sessions. If you just email investments@omnikeytexas.com, you can set that appointment and they will set that call with you to go over your portfolio, what you're looking to do. Other people who have, even if your portfolio is not in North Texas, because I'm getting this question too, we'll still talk to you about it. We can't speak to that market, but we can speak to the overall strategy and what we recommend. Question, do Anna and Melissa still have potential or are people priced out? Absolutely priced out. Absolutely priced out. Rent return won't compare, and I don't believe that it has the potential upswing. Remember, we're dealing in the affordable housing space where there's so much demand and such a shortage that your ability to have a better performance is much higher. So I would say it's safer. And so that is why we target where we target. Let's see, I have a HELOC I can draw from. Would it make sense strategically to buy these with the HELOC and the refi as they appreciate? Absolutely. So here's the benefit of a HELOC. It's a cheaper rate generally than what the investment financing is, and it's what we call a negative interest rate. So if you have a home with a lot of equity and you don't have unlimited cash, so if you're someone like me, you have a job that is providing you enough every month to keep buying. That's not the situation most people are in, especially not until you get to the higher level. And so again, if we back up to that situation where you have an infinite number of cash that you can use, borrowing against that home at a really low rate is a cheaper rate than what you're actually going to make. So you're actually going to make more on your money borrowing the bank's money and then using the bank's money. So as long as rates are below what your return is, that will always make sense. Plus, don't forget, you have about 3% a year in principal pay down or more if you do a 25-year amortization. So your total return's like 9% minimum before appreciation. I highly doubt anyone's going to have HELOC rates at 9%. So absolutely, that is a great strategy if you're still early on in your investment journey. Let's see, does Greenville have its own large employers or do they mostly commute to Dallas for work? Yes, Greenville has massive employers and they're also very drivable to Roy City, Rockwall, Mesquite, all of those areas with mega employers too. If you're interested in Greenville, look up L3. L3, huge government contractor, and they are headquartered there. Let's see. A challenge I'm facing looking at financing is rate and the discount points to get that rate. Apparently there's no par rate. Your thoughts on this, since it seems like cost would eat any cash flow in the first few years. So I'll give you an example. I closed a property yesterday and my rate was 5.5% and it was 20% down. That was a non-conventional. It was just one of my regular LLC portfolio loans. And that bank is still offering that rate. These rates are not hard to achieve, guys. You just have to be patient. You have to look at the right people. Too many people get fixated on doing Fannie Mae. And Fannie Mae doesn't always make sense. They're a little more reactive to the market and rates. And so again, rates are gonna go back down. The question is, are you gonna buy in when the market is going this crazy, or are you gonna wait for rates to go down not knowing where the market's gonna be? Because if rates go down in a year, let's say, which I think it'll be way before that, but let's say it's a year before they go back down, but our market's gone up 30%, that's 30% you could have made all because you didn't wanna pay the extra percent. It's just not a good investment strategy. The rate you can fix. You've even got people who are not really proponents of financing telling you right now, still buy, because rates will go down, you can refinance. And so that's really important. Generally, so what happens is as soon as you close on the property, we put the property up for rent and go find a tenant. We do a 2-month re-renting period in our leases. So once you have a tenant in place, then we can market it the last 60 days. But when you close on the property, we start marketing it. And so generally you should have a tenant moved in within 60 days. And that's just kind of the norm. Doesn't always happen that it takes that long. Often it's a lot faster, but it depends on the property, how aggressive you are with your price, what type of property you have, where it's located. If you follow our guidance and you follow our advice, generally you're going to have a very good success on placing a tenant. Most of our properties rent, again, you see within a 21-day on market. So the reason that we do 60 days is because a good tenant generally has to give notice to their current landlord if they haven't already done so. And so by having that full 2-month period, we can locate them hopefully the first month, and that gives them a month to give proper notice. Sometimes if you have a tenant wanting to do a last minute move in, that could be a red flag. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's because they sold their home or their place fell through or they're just moving here or whatever. But sometimes when you have those last minute move ins, that's a red flag. Well, why did you not properly plan and why are you moving and all those things? And so part of our real in-depth screening is going through those questions and figuring that out. Talking about portfolio loans. So what a portfolio loan is, and we basically, it's just a fancy term for bank loans. We go directly through banks and it's not government backed. The bank holds those mortgages on their books. Or you can go DCSR, that debt coverage service ratio I mentioned earlier. And they're just different types of products. It's typically in a company name. You could do it in your personal name, but if you're doing it anyway, why not protect yourself and put it in a company? And it's just direct bank. It's old school handshake relationship banking. And so we have those contacts that we can introduce you to do that. And then as you get further along in your investment journey, you probably want to look at something called a guidance line. People like me often do those, and it's basically a pre-approved amount for X, and you can go buy anything you want with that. Like I signed up a new bank that we're doing financing with right now, and I'm closing a $5 million guidance line with them this month. And so that basically, it just streamlines the ability to purchase. And it says, well, we're going to do an appraisal, but these are the terms up to X dollars that you can go buy property. And so it's just a very simple process as you build up what you're doing with your financing. Financing is one of the easiest ways to exponentially grow your return. And the reason is A, you can pull cash out to go buy more property, but think of it this way. You buy a property for $200,000 and it goes up 20%. You cash out, refinance that 20% out to go buy more property. So you now have $0 in that home. Whatever cash flow you have is being made on no money in the property. So that's infinite cash flow. So someone like me who owns hundreds of properties, we have infinite returns on our properties because we are pulling more out of that property than what we have in it. So anytime you're in an appreciating market, that's the play, because A, you get twice as many properties paying down principal, twice as many cash flowing, twice as many depreciating or cost segregating, and then twice as many properties with just regular cash flow every month. And so it's really about more than just buying the property, guys. There's so much more to it than that. There's the whole play, from the purchase to the refinance to the cash out to the 1031 to the reinvest. And so if you miss one of those pieces, you miss a huge chunk of your performance. We typically do 1-year leases, but we tier them to prime season, meaning that we don't want leases coming up November, December. Best way to get started is just to reach out to the team. Whether you're buying one property or whether you're buying 100, you're gonna get that same attention and that same one-on-one. We are family owned, and that is at our core. And so reach out, set a phone call or set an email with them, telling them what you're looking for. And Courtney and Johnny are both fantastic, and they will both handhold you through whatever you're looking for. And of course, you can always reach out to me and the rest of the team as well. Non-recourse is not something that we do. It doesn't make any sense to pay a hit to go non-recourse. Maybe some people might recommend those, but at the end of the day, you need to have stake in the game, and the bank is going to want you to have stake in the game to give you the best rates. And so non-recourse, the only time we ever see that is IRA lending, when people are doing self-directed IRA purchasing, which we do. And that would be where you would see that type of non-recourse lending. But of course, IRAs have a little bit higher interest rates to compensate for that. So I really don't see any non-recourse lending anymore, maybe a little bit on multifamily, but I would always pick recourse and go cheaper, right? Yes, this will be posted by tomorrow morning, so you can go back and rewatch any of this that you'd like. Okay, I think I've hit them all. I'll do one last call for questions, but of course, that doesn't mean the end of your ability to reach us. You can always email or call and let us know how we can help. All right, thank you guys so much. I hope everyone has a wonderful afternoon, and I will see you next week for the next webinar.